This is Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Coming to you from the Circa Sportsbook here in downtown Las Vegas, I'm Scott Seidenberg. It's Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Always on Twitter at ScottsOnAir. You can hit us all up on the network at VSiN Live as we got games in progress right now that we are sweating out. That's right. We have the college football playoff continuing right now between James Madison and Oregon, where James Madison has just scored a touchdown on their first possession of the third quarter, a 47-yard touchdown pass from Alonzo Barnett. And so the score is 34-13 as James Madison looks to claw themselves back into this football game. Oregon closed as three touchdown favorites here and absolutely was on their way to dominating this game. And they are still dominating right now as they have the ball in their first possession of the third quarter. And we'll see if they can extend their lead. Offensively, they have absolutely looked like the mismatch that everybody thought that it was going to be coming into this game. The talent mismatch is just overwhelming. Honestly, when you look at the 4- and 5-star recruits that are on the Oregon side versus the talent of a group of five school, and albeit a very good group of five school in James Madison, but still, the talent discrepancy is just way too much. Looking on paper, though, 15 first downs for Oregon, 14 first downs for James Madison, 360 yards of offense for Oregon in that first half, 272 total yards of offense for James Madison. Here's the difference. Oregon has scored 34 points while running, while having the ball, by the way, for 9 minutes compared to the 23 minutes that James Madison has had the football. Oregon's drives, they have scored touchdowns on, let's see, 5 plays, 4 plays, 3 plays, 5 plays, and 4 plays. And if not for the interception where they had a 34-3 lead at the end of the first half when James Madison was able to get that field goal, man, this game could already be over if it isn't over right now. Your live line right now of this game, on this game between Oregon and James Madison with the score 34-13, Oregon a 31.5 point favorite on the live line with a total of 68.5. Elsewhere, NFL Saturday slate in progress right now. The Chicago Bears taking on the Green Bay Packers, and the Packers with a 6-3 lead as they play in the third quarter. Right now, the Packers on the live line are 3.5-point favorites as they are driving down the field. The big story in this one is quarterback for the Green Bay Packers, Jordan Love, is out for the rest of this game with a concussion. So Malik Willis in at quarterback for the Green Bay Packers. And I played a live bet on the Packers at the half, up 6-0, because I still felt that maybe we weren't getting as good of a, we were getting a good price. Like, it should have been a heavier favorite, but I think because Jordan Love is out of this game, the market may be suppressing the number a bit. Plus, the Bears had the first possession of the third quarter, so that always is interesting when it comes from a live betting angle. But my opinion was that, and it still is, Malik Willis is an extremely capable backup. Malik Willis has won football games for this Packers team as the interim starter in place of Jordan Love. The offense hasn't suffered when Malik Willis has been in at quarterback. And I also played a live rushing prop on Josh Jacobs over 49.5 yards. Now, I don't know if Josh Jacobs winds up getting more carries here or if Emmanuel Wilson's going to get more work here in the second half, but I think the threat of Malik Willis running the football, the read option threat here, opens up the running game. There was no props at the time on Malik Willis as I look right now on this game, as we're having injury timeout to see if there is any props currently up on DraftKings, at least on Malik Willis. We are finally seeing some passing props, no yardage yet. You can't go an over under. They're giving you one of those options where you have to ladder it. Rushing props here, nothing on Malik Willis right now. So let's see. We got Josh Jacobs now at 51.5, Emmanuel Wilson at 56.5. Josh Jacobs has 30 yards on the ground so far. So as Oregon does score another touchdown, boy, Just James Madison can't compete with this talent. Well, we're going to get to more of the college football playoff coming up here in just a bit. But, wow, long touchdown there. 45-yard touchdown catch and throw and catch for the Oregon Ducks. Okay, so back to this NFL game. The reason why I played the over here on Josh Jacobs, who has 10 carries for 30 yards right now, is because the threat of Malik Willis running the football is going to open things up for Josh Jacobs. When you use that, when you have that dual threat at quarterback, when you have that running threat of a read option, it takes one defender away from stopping the run that you normally would have. Because that one player has to be assigned to the quarterback. And so you look at, like, from a defensive scheme standpoint, right? You have your defenders that line up, and normally they're not worried about, you know, Jordan Love or another quarterback running the football. And yeah, sometimes these guys do take off and run, but you're not really worried about that. With a guy like Malik Willis, who is a running quarterback, that they will have designed runs for him, one of the defenders now has to be keyed in on that mesh point, and his assignment has to be the quarterback, which means when they hand the ball off to Josh Jacobs, they're a little bit slow reacting and getting over. So it just opens things up for Jacobs, at least in my opinion, when it comes to all of these running quarterback situations. It opens things up for the running backs, which is why, knowing that Malik Willis was coming into this game, I went ahead and I played a live rushing prop on Josh Jacobs. Malik Willis, by the way, since coming into this game, he has had, let's see, he's 3 of 5 passing for 37 yards, 6 carries for 33 yards, and now the Packers have the ball at the 6-yard line as Malik Willis, another carry, but that's a quarterback sneak for a first down. They'll have first and goal. Josh Jacobs now 11 carries for 35 yards, so he is on his way, as we'll need a couple of more runs here in the second half to push this one to get over. So Packers, a 6-3 lead over the Bears right now in the third quarter, but they have a first and goal inside the 5-yard line. Earlier today in the NFL was the Philadelphia Eagles clinching the NFC East, becoming the first back-to-back winners of the NFC East since the Philadelphia Eagles 20 years ago. So the Eagles with a 29-18 win over the Commanders, a win and a cover. And the big story coming out of this game is going to be, obviously, if there's any suspensions from what occurred. There was a little brawl after the Eagles went for a 2-point conversion. We'll see if there's any suspensions for the next game for any of the Eagles or Commanders players. Marcus Mariota was injured in this game. He left. Josh Johnson took over at quarterback. The Commanders don't have anything to play for. They're 4-11 on the season. But moving forward, what happens next week? Is it Josh Johnson playing at quarterback, or can Marcus Mariota come back for the Commanders next game? So we'll take a look at that. There is a scrum right now. The Bears are claiming that there is a fumble and they have the football. And if they do, what a big turn of events here in this game, as the Packers had first and goal at the 4-yard line. And if they fumbled and came away and the Bears come away with the football, which it looks like they did, although I haven't seen a signal by the official yet. I guess maybe they're going to review it to see if the runner was down. I feel like the ball was out. I can't see anything. There's just like a whole scrum of players and bodies and whatever going on here. So we'll try and get what's going on. It looks like it is a fumble, though, and the Bears take over at their own 2-yard line. So as we head to a timeout here, here's your live line up on DraftKings right now. Packers -2.5, total 23.5. And yeah, I guess it was a fumble here from Jacobs. So 6-3 is your score. It is a booth review as they go to the commercial break here. But Packers -2.5, -130 on the money line. Total of 23.5. I do like the Packers to win this game, even if they don't come away with a score here, right? I think that they're still going to be able to get the football back, and especially pinning the Bears deep in their own territory here. I do like the way the Packers defense has played so far in this game. Taking a look inside the box score so far, as I mentioned, Malik Willis in the game prior to Jordan Love exiting, he was 8 of 13 passing for 77 yards. Caleb Williams, 7 of 12 passing for 103 yards. Kyle Manungai, your leading rusher for the Bears, 5 carries for 24 yards. DeAndre Swift, 6 carries for 16 yards. Caleb Williams has 1 rush for 9 yards. The leading receiver for the Bears, who are without Roma Dunze and some others here at the wide receiver position. It is 2 catches for 37 yards from Kyle Menungai. Olamide Zaccheaus has 2 catches for 33 yards. Romeo Doubs, your leading receiver for the Packers, 4 carries for 51 yards. And the tight end, Luke Musgrave, 3 catches for 38 yards. It is a booth review on the fumble, so we'll find out when they come back from commercial. But right now, the sports books are saying that it is Bears football with 6:57 to go here in the third quarter. Packers leading 6-3, and once again, Packers on the live line, 2.5-point favorites, total of 23.5. We'll recap the action from earlier today. Yes, the Eagles get a win. What does that mean for everybody moving forward? It means the Dallas Cowboys have been eliminated. We'll take a look at tomorrow's schedule here, week 16 Sunday in the NFL, and also take a look ahead to the next round of the college football playoff after we can assume here with Oregon getting the win that we will know who will take on the four teams, the top four seeds that had the first round buys. We'll get you those spreads coming up as well. I'm Scott Seidenberg, always on Twitter at ScottsOnAir, ScottsOnAir. You can hit us all up on the network at VSIN Live. We'll get to the prop bets coming up here for Week 16 NFL Sunday. The Trench Report, which already was pretty successful on a Thursday game. We'll explain about that, and we'll tell you about the plays coming up here for Week 16 Sunday. It was a fumble. Bears have the ball on their own 2-yard line here, trailing 6-3 against the Green Bay Packers. This is Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here on Cashing Out, I'm Scott Seidenberg with you on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Always on Twitter at ScottsOnAir. You can hit us off on the network at VSiN Live as we are tracking all the action here in both the finale of the first round of the college football playoff as Oregon is playing out the strings here against James Madison, and your second game of this Saturday doubleheader in the NFL with the Green Bay Packers having a 6-3 lead over the Chicago Bears. So Josh Jacobs fumbles inside on the 2-yard line. The Bears recover, but the Packers do hold the Bears to a punt, and they get the football back now. So with 4:15 to go here in the third quarter, the Packers will have the football on their own 36-yard line, leading 6-3. Your live line is Packers minus 2.5. Your live total is 22.5. So earlier today, the first round of the college football playoffs concluded. It got started last night where yours truly took, I got destroyed on social media last night. I'll admit it. I got destroyed. I mean, the engagement was incredible. Like, so thank you guys, like pumping up my numbers. But boy, I got destroyed. I was on Oklahoma, one of my best bets in a while. I loved Oklahoma in that game against Alabama. And all week, I heard it from Alabama fans. I heard it from people all week on any platform that I went on and talked about Oklahoma. Boy, the Alabama fans, it's a strong group. It is. It's a strong group of Alabama fans. And listen, rightfully so. You've had such a long history of winning. It's just, it's hard to be an underdog when you're accustomed to being a winning team. And plus, there was all my thoughts that I had on Alabama not deserving to be in the college football playoff after losing to Georgia in the SEC championship game. And so when Oklahoma's up 17-0, yeah, I did a little bragging. I counted my chickens before they hatched. Oklahoma looked great to start the football game. Alabama looked terrible. And the game changed when Alabama scored on a fourth down like they did against Auburn a couple weeks ago. It's a 17-7 football game. John Mateer escapes a sack and has about 20 yards in front of him to run for a first down. But instead, he elects to toss the ball down the field to a wide-open receiver who drops the football. And instead of a 54-yard touchdown, or Well, the other way could have been just a 20-yard run for a first down. Oklahoma lines up to punt, and you guys know what happened. The punter dropped the ball, so the punt gets blocked. Oklahoma holds Alabama to a field goal, and then the pick six, and it's 17-17 going into the half. Boy, how different does that game look last night if that pass is a 54-yard touchdown? And it's 24-7, Oklahoma. How differently does that game look if John Mattia runs for that first down? Oklahoma milks a couple more minutes off the clock, and it's 24-7, Oklahoma. How differently does that game look last night if Brent Venables doesn't punt? You see, that's the thing that no one was talking about last night. Everyone's talking about the Mattia play, and everyone's talking about the punter dropping the football. But it's 4th-and-3 at midfield. Your defense was shutting Alabama out the entire first half. I go for it there. If you get the first down, you milk a couple of minutes off the clock, and maybe you score, you go up 24-7. And if you don't get it, well, guess what? You're in the same situation as you were after you took the delay of game and you punted and it got blocked and you held Alabama to a field goal anyway. So I thought Brent Venables should have went for it there on that 4th-and-3 at midfield. But we all know what happened. Alabama then goes on to win the game. And boy, everyone just destroyed me. Old takes exposed. And you know what? I accept it. I love the back and forth. I think social media can be certainly very troubling at times, can be very damning, and people can abuse it. But if you use social media the right way and you can have a politeful interaction with your audience and with other sports fans, that's what makes it great. That's what makes it great. And as I tweeted out last night, the best thing about disagreements in our line of work, and that is the sports gambling media, is that you can put your money where your mouth is. I bet on Oklahoma and I lost. Okay? It happens. I also bet on Miami today and won. I bet on Ole Miss today and I won. I have the James Madison team total under right now, sweating that out. It was 20.5 all week, went down to 19.5 earlier. They have 13. I'm really hoping they don't score again. But if they do score a touchdown and it stays under 20.5, that's why you bet early and not late. But anyway, I'm going to win games. I'm going to lose a lot of games. And I think that if we can have sort of a healthy back and forth on social media, then I love it. I welcome all the interactions. The reason why I start each segment here on the show and I give out my social media handle. I want you guys to interact with me. I want to go back and forth with you guys. Because the truth is, in sports betting, the number one advice that I can give, that I've been given, that I can tell you guys, nobody does it alone. Nobody does it alone. You want to be a winning, successful sports bettor, you build yourself a community. You work with people. You take the opinions of others. You aggregate information. You collaborate with people. And that's how you will be successful in this game. You use the resources that we provide here at VSiN. You use other resources and you come up with the best bet that you could possibly come up with for any given situation. That's how we do it. So I welcome the interaction. You guys can always hit me up on Twitter at @ScottsOnAir. You can hit us all up on the network at @VSiN Live. We are here for you. That's why we do this. The Packers have just gotten into the end zone. A touchdown pass from Malik Willis to Romeo Doubs as the Packers will extend their lead over the Chicago Bears. Now 12-3 with the extra point pending. All right, let's get back into what happened in the college football playoffs. So Alabama advances. They will take on Indiana in the next round of the college football playoff. And those games, the second round games, are the neutral site games. First round games on college campuses. Second round games are on the bowl sites. So we know the matchups so far. So here are the matchups that we know. With Alabama beating Oklahoma, they will advance to take on Indiana, the number one seed here in the college football playoff. And because of the way that the geographic matchups work, like that's how they determine like who goes where. So Indiana had the first choice, and with them being, you know, where they geographically located, plus Big Ten kind of tie-ins here, Indiana gets the Rose Bowl, right? So Alabama, Indiana in the Rose Bowl. Early line in this game, Indiana a touchdown favorite. Indiana a touchdown favorite over Alabama here in the Rose Bowl. Total in the game is 48.5. I wonder what the movement's going to be like on this game prior to New Year's Day. Will people come in on Alabama? Did that win against Oklahoma? Did they show enough in that second half, at least, against Oklahoma to give themselves the edge? And then there's the history of this, okay? Last year, and it was different last year because the teams that had the byes last year, they were not the better teams. In fact, all four teams last year that had the bye, they all lost in those games. But all four of them were underdogs in those games. So it's not like it was some upset that the four teams that had the first round byes all lost in the second round. They were all the dogs. Because of the way that the seeding had to go with the conference champions guaranteed those byes, you had the situation where the better teams were playing in the first round. They won their first round games, and then they were favored in the second games. So it wasn't big upsets here. But I'm curious to see where the money goes here. So Alabama will take on Indiana in the Rose Bowl. And then earlier today, you had Miami upset Texas A&M, 3-point dogs, low scoring game, windy day, defenses dominated. The field goal kickers didn't know which way was up, which way is left, which way is right. And so Miami with the win, they advance to take on Ohio State. That is going to be in the Cotton Bowl. And it's actually now that game is going to be on December 31st. So one less day of rest, if you will, here for Miami. Early line on that game is Ohio State -9.5 with a total of 42.5. I don't know if we're going to see people betting on Miami the way that they looked here in this game earlier. We'll get you more of the lines coming up here for the next round of the college football playoff. But I want to remind you guys, the holidays may slow everyone else down, but not us here at VSiN. Because while you're celebrating, traveling, or taking a rare day off, we'll be live all Christmas Day with wall-to-wall betting coverage. Your morning starts with VSiN by the books, followed by a numbers game and a special edition of Live Bet Christmas to guide you through the early action. And in the afternoon and evening, we'll keep the insights coming with Follow the Money, VSiN Primetime, and yours truly will be on Cashing Out. So even if your routine shifts during the holidays, your betting coverage doesn't have to. From bowl season to the NFL action, plus the NBA holiday slate, VSiN is your home for holiday betting coverage.
Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We go to the fourth quarter in Chicago as the Packers lead 13-3 over the Bears. Your live line right now up on DraftKings is the Green Bay Packers -6.5 with a total of 26.5. I've always felt that Malik Willis he's a very capable backup. We have seen him win football games before for the Green Bay Packers. Now, is it just because, like, Matt LaFleur is a great coach and knows how to coach with Malik Willis as his quarterback? Maybe. But I also think that the Tennessee Titans made the wrong decision, just abandoning Malik Willis too early on. Malik Willis showed, some better promise than certainly, Cam Ward this year. But, like, they moved on from him way too early. And the Packers, I thought, got a great steal for him. Got a great steal at a good backup quarterback here in Malik Willis. We'll monitor this fourth quarter, see if the Bears can get a score, make this thing interesting, as they do have the ball now at midfield. Meanwhile, it is not interesting in the fourth first-round game here of the college football playoff as Oregon leads 48-13 over James Madison. As we continue to preview the second-round games here of the college football playoff, let me just say this. College football has been ruined in the past couple of years. It's not just the playoff and the playoff format, which I honestly thought four teams was fine. Yes, there was always going to be debate, but you know what the four teams did? Is it really allowed us to focus on the best of the best. You know, arguing over 4 versus 5 is an argument that I'd much rather have than arguing over 11 versus 12. Arguing over a 3-loss team. I'd rather argue between 2 1-loss teams than argue between a 2-loss team and a 3-loss team where, like, oh, it comes down to conference this, conference that. Are we going to punish them for conference championship games? No. I think the conference championship games mattered when we had a 4-team playoff. That was your way to play yourself in, play yourself out. It was essentially a quarterfinal game. We had a 4-team playoff, and the SEC championship game sometimes was a quarterfinal game. The winner got into the semifinal. The loser was out. That was a great system. But now we want to expand. We want to add more games. We want to add money. And speaking of money, NIL has just destroyed college football. It really has. I mean, the transfer portal is ridiculous. These players are, I remind folks, like, when it comes to the schedule this time of the year, and people are like, why do we have, like, no games on? Or why do we have, like, a break? Or why is it so long in between games? I don't know. It's because these kids are supposed to be taking finals? But I understand, like, no one thinks about the fact that they're in school anymore because they're not. They're professionals. They're professional athletes. It's crazy. It's minor league football now. But yeah, the schedule was the schedule because these kids were supposed to be taking finals at the end of the year. Hilarious. And also, the schedule was the way the schedule was because some kids, like, you know, the semester ended and then they weren't students anymore in the following semester, which started at the end of January sometimes. But they're not students anymore, they're athletes. But now we're seeing reports of, it's not about kids, like, entering the transfer portal. We're seeing posts on social media now of players re-signing. What? We get, like, you get a tweet from a school that says, hey, this quarterback has re-signed for another year. And NIL is just insane. What it also has done is it's really made this playoff format just incredibly obsolete. Because while it's nice to give everybody a chance to participate, the group of five schools will never have an opportunity to compete against these power conference teams. And it's because of NIL money. James Madison, by the way, just picked off Oregon in the end zone and ran it back. They did not run it back for a pick six. Good for my team total to go under, but they're in business here. Not in business. They're down 48-13, but at least they didn't allow Oregon to get into the 50s yet. Anyway, the talent discrepancy is just always going to be too much. It always is, because any kid worth any talent at a group of five school is going to take the NIL money and then go to a Power Four conference school. All these coaches are going to build up these programs and then leave to go get better jobs. Essentially, college football needs a complete overhaul. A complete overhaul. You need to bring in a commissioner to oversee all of college football. You need to redraft, you know, conferences, or just have a separate leagues. Have just separate leagues. Turn it into European soccer, if you will. And you can say, hey, if a team wins the FCS or whatever, then they can get promoted to FBS. And if teams are at the bottom, maybe they get relegated to the under leagues. Whatever you want to do. But to give playoff spots here to, you know, James Madison and Tulane, great seasons. But they're not competing. In the last 2 years of this college football playoff format, and this is something to think about as we move into next year, the group of five schools, the three group of five schools that have played here in the college football playoff in the last 2 years, have been outscored 41-3 in their first quarters. They've been outscored 41-3. Never a doubt who's winning this game. I saw the Bear, Chris Felica, on his podcast talked about how, you know, with the overwhelming, like, Oregon heavy on the money line. But he was saying how, like, this is just like a 3-hour return on your investment. I mean, literally, like, we see pros do this all the time where they just, like, a big money line like this, you put all, you hammer it, and then you just, I'm not recommending this because we have seen losses, right? Purdue lost as a 1 seed in the NCAA tournament. We have seen losses for huge money line favorites, but there was no world in which James Madison was winning this football game. So for a 3-hour return on your investment, big bet on Oregon money line, get your money back in a couple hours. That's better than like the S&P 500, right? Right? Or the Dow, whatever. It has to be changed. And until it does, all we can do as sports bettors is just try and take advantage of it. So again, here's where we are right now. Group of five schools have all been outscored 41-3 in their first quarters. We'll wait to see next year if we get a group of five school or if they change the playoff format entirely. But these teams they're not competing. And I get it. You can't just say no team should be left out, right? If a team's good enough to get in, Boise State's good enough to get in, right? Cool. I love that. I love the idea of allowing a spot for a team that is good enough to compete. But the way that the rule is written and the way that it was written this year to guarantee five conference champions the spots in the playoffs, and with Duke winning the ACC, well, obviously it was a moot point because they put Miami in, but that gave an opportunity for both James Madison and Tulane to get into the college football playoff, where both of them were sacrificial lambs. Whatever the final score turns out to be in this game, tough way for James Madison to end their successful season. Ole Miss, meanwhile, a 41-10 win over Tulane, pretty much exactly what we saw in the first time those two teams met. In this game, though, the one concern, not one, many concerns, is the health of Ole Miss. So Trinidad Chambliss leaves the game. Kawan Lacey gets hurt as well. And now you're trying to think about what is going to be the status of these players as they go into their next game in the next round of the college football playoff, which will be Ole Miss will be taking on Georgia in the Sugar Bowl, a rematch of a very exciting game that we saw earlier this season. And boy, how fun is that going to be on the fast track indoors? You would think it's going to be a ton of points here, especially because Georgia's defense has not been what Georgia's defense has been. Total's 56.5. Georgia is a 7-point favorite right now in this game. And then yet to be determined is going to be Oregon's matchup coming up here in their college football playoff quarterfinal game, which will be against Texas Tech in the Orange Bowl. This one I'm very curious about because before this game, Texas Tech was essentially like a 1-point favorite over Oregon. Or actually, I think Oregon might have been 1 point the other way. But this will be the closest line game of the four games that we have in the quarterfinal. Because again, Ohio State 9.5-point favorites over Miami, Indiana 7-point favorites over Alabama, Georgia 7-point favorites over Ole Miss. Oregon and Texas Tech will be much closer. It's not going to be more than a field goal. It's going to be a lot less than that. In fact, we'll get back into the NFL coming up. We'll get you caught up on everything going on here in Bears, Packers. Plus, we will get into our full Week 16 Sunday preview here coming up. I want to remind you guys you can make the holidays unforgettable with Omaha Steaks. From holiday roasts to hand-selected gift packages, Omaha Steaks delivers top-quality meals and memorable gifts that bring everyone together. And as a VSiN exclusive right now, you'll get 16 free smash burgers with any order of $129 or more, plus 50% off site-wide. Go to omahasteaks.com/VSIN. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Scott Seidenberg back here with you, cashing out on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. Always on Twitter at ScottsOnAir and at VSIN Live. We're monitoring the fourth quarter action here in Chicago, the Packers and the Bears. A lot of things on the line here. First place, standings in the NFC playoff picture, the division, obviously. So we are monitoring this right now. Jordan Love, in case you are just tuning in, you don't know what's happening right now. We are in the fourth quarter. There's under 10 minutes to go. The Packers lead 13-6 over the Bears. Jordan Love suffered a concussion at the end of the first half and did not return to this game. Malik Willis has been the quarterback here for the Green Bay Packers. Willis, 5 of 7 passing for 80 yards and a touchdown. He has also run the ball 8 times for 36 yards. Packers at the half were up 6-0. They were minus 130 on the money line. That was a play that we recommended and we played. And Malik Willis just scrambled and ran for another first down. Boy, he is dynamic. I mean, he is a very underrated backup. The kid was great at Liberty. He was great, you know, as a recruit at Auburn before then, before he transferred to Liberty. He can play. You know, maybe the Titans gave up on him too early, or maybe it's just the fact that LaFleur is a great coach and knows how to handle him. But, I mean, this isn't coaching here. This is reacting to the play and making things happen with your legs. And so his dual threat ability is certainly giving the Chicago Bears fits here in the second half. So Packers moving into Bears territory with a 13-6 lead on your live line right now as they are at the 30-yard line or so. Packers are -7.5, live total of 28.5. This game closed with the Packers as a 1.5-point dog. Now, I don't know if it was just a lot of injury situations here for the Packers because Josh Jacobs was certainly questionable coming into this game. Christian Watson was questionable coming into this game, and he actually, you know, got hurt again. So he's been in and out. And maybe there was just a feeling that, well, home field means something here. Maybe the wind, cold, low scoring game. You go with the home team, the Bears. Certainly the Bears in the trenches have looked a lot better than a lot of people have given them credit for this season. I mean, I do the Trench Report every single week. We talk about it here on Saturday nights, and we could talk about the Bears, who the Bears, by the way, were the number 5 biggest rushing mismatch of the week this week in the Trench Report. Right now, DeAndre Swift, 12 carries for 51 yards. Kyle Manungai, 8 for 39. So we'll see if Swift winds up going over as the RB1. I think he closed at, let's see, what was his prop to close. But their offensive line has been a lot better than people have given them credit for here. I did play a live bet on Josh Jacobs to go over, but ever since that fumble, I mean, it's been Emmanuel Wilson who's been running the ball here in the second half. Plus, Jacobs was banged up. So that was probably the bad read out of me. I probably should have went with Wilson, who now has 12 carries for 77 yards here. For Emmanuel Wilson, Josh Jacobs, meanwhile, 12 carries for 36 yards. So bad call by me. Should have went with Emmanuel Wilson instead of Josh Jacobs. DeAndre Swift closed with a rushing prop here of 54.5 yards. And so he's 5 yards away from cashing this over. And that would be another over for the Trench Report as far as a running back one to go over. But let's talk about this spread. It's saying that both these teams were even, and I just didn't agree with it, which is why I played the Packers. The Packers are a better football team than the Chicago Bears. And I give all the credit for the Bears, all the credit in the world for what they have accomplished this season. And they are likely a playoff team. They'll lose this game. They'll be 10-5. They'll still be firmly in the mix right now. But the Packers overall have been the better football team. By a lot of advanced metrics, they have been the better team. And so I didn't agree with this spread. I did not agree with this spread. Now we look forward. Here's where we're going to be in the NFC North standings. The Packers, by winning this game, will take over first place. They will be 10-4-1. The Bears will fall to 10-5. The Lions are 8-6. They obviously play coming up here on Sunday, and we'll see what happens here with the Lions as far as pushing pushing the envelope, as they say. But at 10-5, the Bears will be the 7th seed in the playoff picture right now in the NFC. A Lions victory will give them a 9-6 record. The Bears' remaining 2 games after this Packers game at the 49ers and then home to the Detroit Lions. They already lost to the Detroit Lions. A loss here tonight, and then a loss in week 18 against the Lions would elevate Detroit over Chicago. This is just saying that even if Chicago beats the 49ers, but there's a chance they lose to the 49ers. But let's say they beat the 49ers. Great, that's like their best case scenario. If they lose to the Lions will leapfrog them in the playoff picture. And so I know that I just said, well, the Bears could still be a playoff team. That's just because after this game, they'll still be in the playoff picture. But now as I look ahead to their schedule, honestly, it's not. Let's see what the odds are here to make the playoffs right now. Well, the Bears, the odds fluctuate. Obviously, we're in the game right now, but FanDuel does try and update during the games. The Bears are minus 188 to make the playoffs right now. To miss the playoffs, the Bears are plus 154. I think it's very, oh, wow. Looking at the way it plays out, I think it's realistic. They miss the playoffs. Because the only other hope for them would be if the 49ers lose football games. Now, they do play the 49ers next week. And the 49ers are favored on Monday, but they're on the road in Indy. So if the 49ers lose and they fall to 10-5, then the Bears have that game next week. If they beat the 49ers, the Niners will fall to 10-6. And then San Francisco has Seattle, the final game of the season, where, you know, Seattle could be playing for the one seed. Who knows? But also, from the other side of things, the 49ers are still alive for the one seed. Because at 10-4, if the 49ers beat the Colts and improve to 11-4, they beat the Bears and improve to 12-4, a win over the Seahawks in week 18 at 13-4, the 49ers are your one seed in the NFC playoff picture because of the Seahawks beating the Rams on Thursday Night Football. I think it's very likely, actually, that the Bears miss the playoffs. It's plus 154. The only reason why I wouldn't play that, and this is important for futures betting, if you just parlayed, and maybe parlay is not the right term, maybe rollover is the better term, but if you just took the gate, like what you needed to have happen and played those games, you're going to get a better payout than what the market is offering you on that futures bet. So, for instance, right now we're saying plus 155, let's round number, let's call it plus 150, whatever, for the Bears to miss the playoffs. Well, let's play it out. What has to happen here for the Bears to miss the playoffs? Let's say if the Lions have to win, so your first bet is just Lions on the money line here on Sunday against the Pittsburgh Steelers. All right, it's minus 345. Okay. But then your next bet is the 49ers to beat the Colts. All right, well, those two together is minus 125. So let's say you do those two as a two-leg money line parlay. All right. You bet $100. Your $100 pays out your $80, your profit, $80 profit. So now you got your 180 in your pocket, okay? Well, you got your 180 in your pocket, then you bet it on the 49ers to beat the Chicago Bears. And that look-ahead line right now is it listed? Look-ahead line is not up right now on that game. But you know it's going to be a close spread. So you bet that there. Right away, you're already got better than your plus 155. But if you wanted to go further, then you'd bet the Lions in week 18 over the Bears. And now you're definitely, definitely getting more than your plus 155. Does that make sense? I know some of these futures markets can be attractive and it's nice to say, oh, I got this ticket at plus 155 on them to miss the playoffs. Or, oh, I got this ticket on them at minus whatever to make the playoffs. If you just played the games that you needed to have happen in order for those scenarios to play out, you're going to make more money. And again, maybe parlay is the wrong way of saying it. Maybe it's money line rollover is the better way of saying it. But if you need three teams to win and one team to lose in order for your outcome to happen, I promise you, you're going to get a better payout if you play those results as opposed to just taking a shot on that one single bet. I'm Scott Satterberg, always on Twitter at Scott's On Air, S-C-O-T-T-S-O-N-A-I-R. Coming up next, We'll get into week 16 Sunday here of the NFL season. This is Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.